Alright, everybody alright? Alright, Colossians chapter 3. Don't get tired of it now. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to try our best to finish verse 19 tonight. Alright? Try our best to finish verse 19. We're not trying to be tough on the men. We wasn't trying to be tough on the ladies either, but we just give what the scripture teaches us. And I want to remind us, so go the home, so go the church. So go the home, so go the nation. So go the home, so go the world. And we need to make sure our homes is what's lined out. Throughout the Colossians chapter 3, we know that there are things that is expected of us that the Lord will not do for us than He expects us to do. Now, He'll help us do anything. But we need to make sure we do our part. Anybody need a paper tonight? Tom's already ahead of me. Anybody else need a Bible study paper? Hold your hand up there over here, Tom. Hold your hand up. We'll get you one. Colossians chapter 3. All right. Well, let's pray. Some of our Doc needs one over here on that side. Charity. I'm glad I got doctors and nurses all around here tonight. Ain't that a blessing? Dr. Katie back there is one that kept me walking. I'm thankful for myself. All right. Let's pray together, can we? Father, we come tonight. And Lord, you are most wonderful in every way. And I cannot get over, as Rosen shared with us, I can't get over your watch care. When we can't, you can. And for what you do for us, we're not even aware. We just to keep our head hung down so low sometimes. And here you are doing for us, and we're not even thanking you. But help us to praise you tonight. Boy, you've answered prayer and encouraged us. And it's good to see Mike and Peggy here tonight. Good to see everybody. But Lord, it's just good that you're answering prayer. And Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to just praise you. We're going to trust you for more. And Lord, for the prayers about the church and the opportunities to win souls. And you just keep doing. And Lord, help us to keep doing as well. And Lord, I pray that you clear our minds and help us to teach. Cleanse my heart that I would not be a hindrance. And Lord, that I would not just be a teacher of the word, but I would be a doer. I wouldn't just be a hearer. And Lord, I need help as much as anybody. So Lord, help me to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of daddy, the right kind of papa. The right kind of pastor, the right kind of friend, the right kind of brother, uncle. Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray tonight that I might be pleasing unto you. Speak to every heart. Help us to go from this place knowing how to do better and then desiring to do better with your help. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at it. Let's look at verse 4. And go back, that'll be our theme verse for this chapter, verse 4, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, and we'll just stop right there. When Christ, who is our life, we have to get a handle on that Christ is our life. Our life is Christ. Christ is our life. He is supposed to be number one. He should be number one. We are to live for Him. Nothing else matters. We live in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We can't separate a secular life and a spiritual life. We're supposed to have a spiritual life living in an ungodly world. We can't put our Christianity off in a corner or in a pocket or something and say, well, I'm just going to live the secular life. It don't work that way. You get born again, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, brand new creation on the inside. You are new, and then He moves in. He don't leave you to yourself. He moves in you. He enables you, and He guards you. All right, He guards you. Think about that. He guards you as He lives inside of you to help you and to train you and to teach you and me to do right. That's the greatness of God. So we look here down in Colossians chapter 3, and we let's pick up on verse 18. Let's pick up on verse 17, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter here. Verse 17, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now we've done looked carefully at wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And then verse 19 is where we was the last couple of weeks, and we are tonight. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. We're going to do our best to make sure we get through that, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, we're not going to be gaining a lot because we're not teaching the kids up here, but we want to teach the parents and the ones that's up here about it's our duty to see that our kids obey in all things because it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's our duty to see that they obey. Remember that, okay? Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, when we think about that verse just quickly, there is a lot to be said about provoking our children to anger. And we have and deal with a lot of discouraged children who some are fatherless and some are parentless. they are discouraged completely. We've got a lot of children that come. We get them on the bus. Other times they are really discouraged. And we want to make sure that we don't let that happen in our own home. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 17 and 23 is very important. It's in there twice there in just a few verses. In six verses, it's there twice. We need to think about that. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. So everybody has the same rule, and the rules has not changed. Okay, the rules have not changed. Everyone has the same rule. Everybody has the same guidelines. Everyone has the same guidelines. Everybody understand that? Every father, every husband has the same guidelines. Every wife, every mother has the same guidelines. Every child has the same guidelines. Every worker, every employee has the same. All right, when we look to submission, I want to remind you that submission is not just throwed on the wife, but all through this scripture, we have wives submitting to the husband. We have children submitting to parents. We have employees submitting to employers. We have citizens and submitting to government. We looked at all these things in Romans 13. We looked at it in all through the scripture for that. We have Hebrews chapter 13 as well as members submitting to the elders of the church, and then Ephesians 5, then us submitting one to another. So submission is not just centered unto the wife and the husband, but it's, we have a joint submission here, submitting one to another, and that way no one is built up way up here, that we're all servants. We all take the low seat, serving one another in humility. And when we keep that in our home with husbands and wives, then we can keep that into the church house and all through. All right, so that's when we look at this, that's what we're looking at. All right, now, so let's look and see what we've done. Now, last week we looked at husbands. Now, let's refresh our memories. All right, when it says husbands, verse 19 is where we're at. Husbands, love your wives. Now, we read the parallel verse to that in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So our comparison or our parallel or our example of loving our wives is as Christ loved the church in every way. However Christ deals with the church, then we are to deal with our wife. All right, in every way. You think about that. To love is Christ. Love is an action word. It's not just a word, but it's not just an emotion, but it's an action word. And we are to make it active all the time. All right? Guys, are you listening to me? We are to make it active all the time, all right? And y'all's going to have to do better about backing me up here. All right, now, we looked last week at loving as Christ loves, then we ought to love being sensitive. We ought to be sensitive, all right? We ought to be understanding. Brother Rick told me something the other evening after Bible study that really, really put things in perspective. When him and Kim first got married, they lived over Pipestone, and of course they had the three boys. The three boys, you know, are the stair step. And Brother Rick drove a truck for a living, and they went to college and doing all this, but he drove 360 miles every day. That was his job. 5 days a week, 6 days a week, he drove 360 miles every day. All right. Well, that's a lot of driving. Yeah, it's a lot of driving. So when he would come home, he told me, he said, when I would come home, my only thought was to go sit down in the recliner. He said, but Kim had been home all day. And she had had three towheads under her feet all day. And she wanted to go somewhere. Well, he didn't want to go nowhere. He had just drove 360 miles every day. And he found out that it wasn't about him driving 360 miles, that he needed, that she needed to get out of the house. A lot of times, guys, we're not sensitive and understanding to what goes off at the house with the wife because we're selfish and self-centered and love ourselves more than we love Christ, love our wife like Christ loves the church. Do we understand that? Now, when he told me that the other evening, I said, wow. That was just like hitting me right between the eyes, you know. Because I wouldn't have thought of that. Would you have thought that? Now, Brother Rick, I understand Rick saying it because I think Rick is a great Christian man. But I'm not. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about loving Christ as Christ loved the church. Then we need to be sensitive, understanding, all right, considerate. All right, that's what we looked at last week. Humility. We looked there in John chapter 13 about Christ washing the disciples' feet and showing humility. We need to show humility to our wife. That's how Christ loved, with humility. You don't love through pride. With your chest out, you love in humility. All right? We looked at everybody fusses a little bit. Rick teaches this, ain't no fussing allowed. But we've all had spats in the past. We've all had that, okay? But we're wrong when we do that. All right? Now, listen to me. Everybody see that? Everybody fusses. Well, you ain't supposed to, though. All right? You ain't supposed to drink, cuss, and steal, and lie, and cheat. You ain't supposed to do none of them things either. Okay? All right? And when we spat one with another, we're fighting the wrong battle because the Scripture tells us, for our warfare is not flesh and blood. Our warfare, that's not where our battle's at. Our battles is not flesh and blood. So we shouldn't be fighting one another. We shouldn't be fighting our spouse. We shouldn't be fighting with our children. And we definitely shouldn't be fighting at the church house. We shouldn't be fighting on the job. We shouldn't be fighting down at the schoolhouse. We shouldn't be fighting down at the courthouse. Everybody understand? Because that's not where our battle's at. Now, let me say that again, because I don't know that we're getting this. Our battle is not our spouse. Our spouse is our greatest asset. Our wife is our greatest asset. Guys, we are not complete without our wife. Are you listening to me? Guys, we're not complete without our wife. When Adam was made, he had everything. He had all the animals there, and then the Scripture says, but there was not found someone for Adam. So God made him a wife to complete him. And that's why we have a wife. Okay? That's why. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. I just used this in a wedding here last week. All right. In fact, I've used it in a couple of weddings here of late. Ecclesiastes, that's in the Old Testament. All right. Ecclesiastes. Let's look at chapter 4. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one.
Yeah.
There's two guys. I agree. Three of us agree. How about the rest of you guys? Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing better than having a spouse that'll stand with you when trouble comes. All right? Two shall withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's why we have the Lord. We got the Lord, a husband and wife, and Lord. That makes a complete home. Husband, wife, and the Lord will make you a home. All right? It turns a house into a home. Does everybody understand? Guys, it turns a house into a home. All right? So we done seen that. Being sensitive, understanding, considerate, humility. Having humility, fighting fleshly battles is not what we ought to be. We're fighting spiritual battles and working together. When one prevails against us, we work together. That's what we learned there, all right? And then we looked there in 1 Corinthians about love, charity, which is a full extension of what love really is, of giving and sacrificing. It never seeks its own. It don't seek its own self. And then we looked at being one, that we're one with Christ, that we as church members. Now, everybody look at me now and listen to this. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. All right? If you're born again, then we're one together. I'm born again. If you're born again, we're one together. When me and Cheryl got married, we was already brothers and sisters in Christ before we got married. We went to church together. We fellowshiped together. And then we got married. And we are one. We're one with Christ. We was one with Christ before marriage. And that don't stop. And we're one with Christ even after marriage. But we're also one as brothers and sisters in Christ. Everybody understand that? Now, this is why we're not supposed to marry unsaved people. That's why. Because you're not one. You only can become one through a fleshly act. Are you listening to me? But if you're saved, you're one and becoming one completely. And it's taught in Romans, it's taught in 1 Corinthians, all of this is one, because by one Spirit are we one. See, think about this now. Me and Cheryl, we're husband and wife. Been husband and wife for 44 years, now over 44 years. We're working on our 45th year. Ain't that amazing? All right? But think about this. But we're one with Christ, and we're both part of the same body that Christ purchased with His blood. Not because we're husband and wife. That's the whipped cream on the chocolate pie. You understand? But we forget that, do we not? We forget this oneness. And when the Scripture speaks of there in 1 Corinthians 12 about there being no schism in the body, there shouldn't be no schism down at the house neither. All right? Everybody understand that? Because why? Because we're one. Is everybody still okay? Now, we're still in Colossians 3. All right? So we looked at that, being one with Christ. Now, let's pick up this last part of the verse. All right? Husband, love your wife, and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. Now, guys, look at me tonight. You got to remember that your wife is just a saved sinner also. All right? That means, regardless if they tell you or not, they're not perfect. They may say it, they may think it, they may act like it, you may think it, but they're not. They're a sinner just like we are. All right? So if they're a sinner like you are, then there's no need for you to be bitter against them for anything. All right? Are you still with me? They're not perfect. Now, listen to me, guys. Our wives are growing in Christ like we're growing in Christ. I'm still growing in Christ. I don't know. I've not arrived yet. The Apostle Paul hadn't arrived yet. He said, I've not yet apprehended, but this one thing I know. Forgetting those things that are with behind, I press forward toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. I'm not there yet. Well, neither is she. She ain't there yet either. Amen. Preach them off. All right? She's not there yet. We got to take that in consideration. That's why 1 Peter tells us, let's go over there and look what he says. 1 Peter chapter 3. Come on, guys. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is why there's no power in the church, because our homes ain't right. And we're not together down at the house, and our prayers are hindered in the house of God. And that's why we're dead in the church house, because we're dead down in our house. Come on, guys. Say, ouch, preacher, you're right. Because we're the spiritual leader, and we're supposed to be the ones that's on fire for God, not our wife. And we ought to walk through that church door shouting the praises of God, not waiting on our wives to do it. And we ought to be the one testifying to the grace of God, not waiting for our wives to do it. And we ought to be the ones that hold up holy hands instead of waiting for the women to do it. But things ain't right down at the house, because we're bitter against our wives. Finally, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, 1 Peter 3, 8. Finally, be ye all one mind, having compassion one of another. Love is brethren. We're talking about husband and wife, and it says love is brethren. You still okay? Be pitiful. Well, we got that down. But that ain't what it means there. Hey? Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Not rendering evil for evil. When you say that, I'll just say this. You do that, I'll do this. That's what argue. That's how you argue. Do you know one person can't argue? Did you know that? One person can't argue. One can rant and rave, but it takes two people to argue. Is that not right? Think about that. Think about that. I told y'all about the guy who'd been married 85 years. They asked him, said, how have you made stay married? You're 100 years old. How did you stay married 85 years? He said, long walks. And they said, what's that got to do with marriage? He said, well, he said, I'd go home from work and I'd throw my hat in the door. She threw it back out and went on a long walk. So that's how what he contributed to long marriage to, long walks. Not going in and arguing. It's what the Bible says. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary wise, bless thee. Did you ever say something nice when somebody was mean? When they're just right on your throat like a bulldog, I love you. You know, if nothing else, you'll get a smile out of them. Yeah, they can. Are you listening to me? Don't we? That's what the scripture says there. Is that? Am I reading it right? Verse 9. Get up there on the board.
Yes.
Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing.
Yeah.
Knowing that ye are there unto call that ye should inherit a blessing. We still okay?
Yeah.
Now, they're growing in Christ as we're growing in Christ. And supposedly, supposedly, the scripture says, our wives are supposed to be growing as we nurture them. As the men who are the leader and the wife is the follower, that the men, we're supposed to be leading our wives into a more spiritual relationship with Christ. Men, we're supposed to be leading. We're supposed to be leading. Men, we're supposed to be leading. Men, we're supposed to be leading. Men, we're supposed to be leading our wives in spiritual growth according to the Scripture, because they are followers. They are made followers. And that's why Satan went to Eve and not Adam in the garden. Satan went to Eve because she was a follower. She was made a follower. So she followed what Satan said. Had he went to Adam, Adam would have shut him down. But a role reversal took place in a garden because she gave to her husband with her, and she became a leader and he became a follower, and we've been messed up ever since. Because of sin. Everybody okay? But now we've been given a way to start everything new with Christ and grace and mercy and the cross, and we can start our life brand new and put it back like it was. Are you hearing me? Let's go on. Now, listen to me. In the ancient world, in the old Bible, in old times, all right, women were treated as a possession. That's how they were treated. And this command here in Colossians, let's go back to Colossians. This command here to love our wives and be not bitter against them was against the day. It was against the day. Are you hearing me? Now, the command for husband to love their wife and not be bitter became a radical, listen to me, a radical liberation of women within the marriage because they was one, not a possession. Are you hearing me? Now, we laugh and say, well, she blown me, I own her. Well, that's why she got that ring on her. That's why she wears that ring. I don't know, but I happen to have one too. I own her, she owns me. We're one. Does everybody get this tonight? Now, all of this, these writings in the epistles, that we be better Christians. So we're going to have to be better dads and better moms and better husbands and better wives, and to be better church members, to be better Christians, to be the light that we're supposed to be. Okay? All right. Now, this scripture in verse 19, Colossians 3:19. Is everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Now, we're not supposed to harbor resentment. It says, husband, love your wife. It says, and be not bitter against them. We're not supposed to harbor resentment. We're to avoid harshness and anger. We're to treat our wives with gentleness and affection and care rather than a bad spirit. Huh? It calls for us to be patient and kind. Huh? Being patient and kind. And that discourages bitterness. It discourages grumbling and complaining. Huh? Resentment, complaining, huh? This type of love, listen to me now, loving as Christ loves, it brings around a sanctifying atmosphere.
Yeah.
Let's stick with the scripture and what he teaches us. Sanctification, sanctified, being set apart continually. Are we okay, guys? Let's bring it all right down to what we're supposed to be. Huh? If the women are supposed to be followers and are made that way, they'll follow wherever the leadership is. And if the men ain't going to lead, they're going to follow one another. They're going to follow other women. And it's got so far now in society that they follow one another and they marry one another. Because men ain't the leaders they're supposed to be. Are you hearing me? When homes break up and men leave their wife for another man, or wives leave her husband for another woman, that is a big issue in the home, I'm here to tell you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a big problem somewhere. Huh? And we better pay attention. All right? Now, this sanctifying atmosphere is going to lead to growth. What kind of growth? It's going to be growth in holiness. According to 1 Peter chapter 3. We still okay? Trying to look at everybody. I don't want to look at just one certain person. I want all of us to get this. Okay? Me too. All right? Now let's get down here. How do we avoid this bitterness? Well, where does bitterness come from? Can somebody answer me loudly for we can hear? What causes? What is the root of bitterness? What? Pride's the root of all sin. All right? How about unforgiveness? That's what causes bitterness, is unforgiveness. That's what causes bitterness. In fact, that's just what bitterness is blowed up unforgiveness. And we already know that the definition or the example of bitterness is drinking poison hoping it kills the other guy. You drink it yourself and hope it kills the guy you're mad at. That's what bitterness is. But what it is unforgiveness.
I believe listening is also a root of bitterness.
Listening, yeah.
You talk stuff out. Well,
that's not the root of bitterness. That would be a cure for bitterness.
But if one refuses to listen,
but that again, it comes in to how things is handled there. All right, choosing, we're gonna have to choose. Now, listen to me, guys. We taught that the wives had to choose submission, correct? The husbands have to choose the love. You're gonna have to choose it. Okay? Now, choose love deliberately. See, bitterness hardens our heart to the work of God in our life, and it brings it into the church house. And bitterness in the church house brings it to where the Lord won't work. He can't work. Well, he can do anything he wants, but he will not work in that environment. Now, Tim was talking about talking and one not talking and the other wanting to talk, another claiming that. Well, all of that is a result of the resentment in the heart. You know. Now, when we choose not to talk and not argue, well, not arguing is one thing, but just shutting up and leaving, that ain't, you know, what is the old fella said on that Western? What was it that Henry Fonda said? The woman got mad, went and slammed the door. That's the way the woman answered. Just slam the door. Slam the door. Always think of that. Slam the door. That answers all. That don't answer nobody's question. That don't help nobody. Huh? But we got to remember, huh? If you're fighting, it ain't because you ain't right like here. If you ain't loving, it's cold like here. If you ain't submitting, it's because it ain't right with you and the Lord. If a woman ain't submitting, a man ain't loving, it's because you're not right with God. Let me say that again. All right. If you're not submitting, wife, and you're not loving, husband, you're not right with God. Period. You say, well, I'm closer than I used to be. You're not right. You're not right. Now, we choose love. Now, listen, guys. We choose love, loving like Christ, and we practice patience. How much patience does the Lord have with you? He ought to have done killed us a million times. What y'all saying? Didn't y'all sing a song the other night about a lot of reasons we didn't give him? What's the song?
I've given him a million different reasons to walk away.
I've done given him a million different reasons to walk away, and he ain't never walked away. That's patience. Huh? Are we okay? Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches us here. When we say, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, and husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, listen, it's a lot deeper than just read it real quick and get done with it. We practice patience. That we recognize, now listen, that bitterness stems, what's it come from?
Unforgiveness.
Now, it comes from, and what are we mad at? What do we hold against people? Small things that annoy us. Little things that offend us. Huh? You know, now I'm not just throwing this off. This is all jokes. We've heard these things, you know. Finally get down to it and finally just tell me why you're mad at me. Tell them to the wife. Said, well, you don't remember back 37 years ago. You don't remember that one time that we was coming through the door and my hands was full and you let the door go. And the guy says, you're kidding. See, you don't care. Is that true or not? Is that true or not? Little things that annoy us is what causes the biggest problem. Things that really don't matter, but it does maybe to them. Maybe it does matter to the husband. Maybe it does matter to the wife. Yeah. And I know there's some people that can't be. What was I've told you this before? You know, the man told his wife, honey, what do you want for breakfast? I want fried eggs. I want two fried eggs. Or I want two eggs. I want one fried, one scrambled. That's what it was. And she said, well, I want one egg fried, one egg scrambled. She laid it down on his plate and he stood. She said, what? She said, you scrambled the wrong egg. There are some people you can't please. Okay? There are some people you can't. What she should have done was hit him with the skillet. She fried it in. That's what she should have done. Yeah. And that would have helped that situation completely. Okay? But we, guys, listen, we choose love. We got to practice patience. Now, this is what Brother Tim was talking about now. We communicate in love. When we talk to our wife, now this is hard, listen. We need to do it rationally. Gently. Without unloading the pile of criticism. Let me say that again. We need to communicate. We need to choose love and practice faith and communicate in love. All right? So when we talk to our wife, we do it rationally. You know? Gently. Why? Because the Bible, Peter said that the wife is the weaker vessel. And we need to give honor to her as the weaker vessel. Okay? And we don't dump criticism on top of her. Right? Then we practice forgiveness. Practice forgiveness the way the Lord forgives us. We're forgiven technically, but whether we ask or not. Because the blood of Christ paid for it all. But our fellowship's not intact if we don't repent one to another. And don't repent to the Lord. Are we still okay? We got to practice it. And then we need to seek. These are things we choose and practice and communicate and practice forgiveness and seek understanding. Now, I know it's hard to understand a woman. I know that, guys. And if y'all got enough backbone, you can agree with me. They are hard to understand, but they're worth it. They're worth it. Huh? Do what they think makes sense? No. No. But it's okay. Do what they want really make sense? It probably don't all the time. But they're worth every second of it. Huh? They are. How about we just treat them with respect? How about we just treat our wife with respect, huh? With honor and kindness as instructed, huh? How about this, guys? And we're going to quit right there. We got the verse finished. Make you glad. How about we acknowledge our own sin before we talk to them? How about before we start on our wife, we acknowledge our own sin and then sit down and let's talk? Then maybe things will be a lot better. See, I believe that women are in the wrong place because men ain't in the right place. Huh? See, if we want to get right down to it, if somebody else was talking to my wife, I interrupted. He was over there talking to the serpent, and Adam should have interrupted. Said, you need to attend to your business. See, the curse, the Bible says that the woman was deceived, Adam wasn't deceived. What the Bible says, the woman was deceived because she's a follower. But Adam just kept his mouth shut and didn't man up. Father, help us to be the right kind of wife and the right kind of husband. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.